This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. The Internet Security Threat Report Volume 20 is out and of course we have Nigel Tan. He's the Country Director for Symantec Malaysia and Thailand to talk about some of the key findings from this report. Nigel, let's start with the summary of the report. You know, what stood out and what has been the common theme? It's not about whether you'll be attacked or not, but when. Is that right?
That's very right. Hi, Jeff, and thank you for having me on the show. So Symantec actually re-released our Internet Security Threat Report, Volume 20, just 2 weeks ago. And we found some really interesting themes. And as you mentioned, right, it's not really about whether you're going to be attacked, but really a question of when. One of the things that we found was that the cyber criminals were getting more advanced, and they're making a tactical shift to trying to infiltrate networks by evading detection, hijacking infrastructure of major corporations, and then using that against them. So as an example, one of the statistics that we saw was globally, 5 out of every 6 large companies, and when I say large companies, I mean companies over 2,500 users, were actually targeted with spear phishing attacks in 2014. This is actually a 40% rise over the previous year. Another thing that we saw, the second thing that we saw was a record high of 24 zero-day vulnerabilities actually discovered in 2014, right? And that's more than we've seen in any single year over the last 10 years. The criminals, the third one, criminals also continue to favor, you know, more lucrative attack methods like ransomware, and we saw a massive 113% increase in there. And the final thing that we saw was social media scams. A lot of these cyber criminals are actually exploiting what I call the circle of trust in social networks to get users to actually infect themselves and on top of that, infect the friends as well.
Now let's start with one of the biggest trends that we see so far in the IT world, the Internet of Things. Now, this sort of like a developed market already that we're starting to see, you know, threats very early on, or is this just a precaution for the future?
Well, it is actually it's quite a large market already. Now, the numbers, a lot of people have different varying ideas about how large this Internet of Things is. And just let me explain, the Internet of Things is really the any network devices connected to the Internet with an embedded operating system on it. So the numbers kind of vary quite wildly between various people, but suffice to say, the common thing is it's a massive number, right? Anything between 15 to 25 billion devices are currently connected in are going to be connected in the year 2015, right? So certainly, when you talk about these volumes, the cyber criminals are definitely going to be looking at this as a potential area that they can exploit. We've seen in the past things like the CCTV hacks, where the CCTV cameras were actually all brought up, the feeds were actually brought up to a website, and anybody in the world could view them. We've seen point of sales attacks. So, you know, the machines that you see at retail outlets or shopping malls, there are specific malware like Dexter and VSkim, which are specifically targeted to sit on those machines and pull things like credit card information as they swipe through these machines.
And it's also, in a way, you know, a precaution for the future because this market will only grow from the numbers that we have today.
Definitely. This is a continually expanding market, and it's expected to grow exponentially over the next few years.
Mm. What about mobile devices? You know, we carry at least like, you know, 2 smartphones these days. It's not an unusual thing anymore, you know. And again, it seems like Android users are the ones that are, you know, at huge risk.
That's actually quite true. The MCMC, Malaysian Multimedia Commission, actually they estimate about a 63% penetration rate of smartphones. I'm not talking mobile, just normal mobile phones, but specifically smartphones. So you're very right. Many people are carrying more and more smartphones around these days. And these are all surface areas that cyber criminals can exploit. Now, one of the things that we saw in our Internet Security Threat Report that we released was that, you know, 17% of all the Android apps in the App Store are actually malware in disguise.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So what they do, what these criminals do, is they actually hide their malware, make it look like a legitimate application, oftentimes just, you know, ripping off a very popular app, getting users to download and install it. Mm-hmm. Besides just this, the malware, the really bad stuff, there's also another category of applications we call grayware. And grayware, about 36% of the apps that we found in the App Store are actually grayware. These are actually you know, apps that aren't really malicious by design, but they can be annoying, you know, popping up ads, advertising, or, you know, tracking your user behavior. Mm. One very interesting thing that we actually saw last year in 2014 was that we saw, you've heard of ransomware, right? Mm-hmm. This is something that we saw quite prevalent starting, you know, a few years ago. And that this is malware which actually encrypts files on a, well, we saw it in the PC, and then forces a user to pay a ransom to get the files back. Oftentimes, the user pays the money, but, you know, the files remain encrypted anyway. Well, what's interesting is last year, we actually saw this shift the first time to the mobile device, and it actually appeared, the first piece of crypto ransomware was discovered on Android.
And it will only be a matter of time before, you know, they start attacking the Internet of Things, or, you know, because automobiles, driverless cars, you know, that's the future, and, you know, ransomware could be, you know, implemented in one of those systems as well.
For sure. I mean, you know, when you're talking about driverless cars or healthcare devices, anything that's connected to a network is a point which cyber criminals could potentially exploit and use that for either to steal information or use that for their own mean.
I'm speaking to Nigel Tan. He's the country director for Symantec Malaysia and Thailand, and we are talking about the Internet Security Threat Report Volume 20. We'll be right back, BFM 89.9. This is Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandu, and I'm speaking to Nigel Tan. He's the country director for Symantec Malaysia and Thailand, and we are going through the findings of the Internet Security Threat Report Volume 20. And early on, we spoke about the mobile devices and also the Internet of Things. Nigel, moving on to the web now, there were two high-profile types of attacks last year, Heartbleed and also Shellshocked. What happened here, and, you know, how was this resolved at the end of the day?
Yes, so you're very right. Two very high-profile vulnerabilities found in last year. So one of the things that I want to kind of touch on with regards to vulnerabilities is that while these vulnerabilities were found, the amount of time that it actually took to patch it rose. The software vendors actually took longer to, on average, to be able to patch vulnerabilities overall, right? 59 days versus 4 days the year past. Now, specifically what we saw to these two attacks, Heartbleed and Shellshock, was the attackers, the cyber criminals, were very quick to jump on and start exploiting these vulnerabilities. In fact, we saw the first attacks come out just in a matter of 4 hours. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the attackers are really on the ball. They're on their toes, and they're really ready to jump in and attack any vulnerable systems. Now, one of the other things, I kind of mentioned this earlier, was that we also saw a rise in the number of zero-day vulnerabilities. And these are vulnerabilities that aren't made known to the public at first. And these are the vulnerabilities that the cyber criminals would actually use and exploit without telling the public, right? And we actually saw a rise of 24 of these. On average, over the last few years, you know, it's sort of dwindling between 12 to 14 a year. Last year, we saw 23. This year, it beat that number, and we saw 24 zero-day vulnerabilities. So the what it tells us is cyber criminals are really doing their research. They're spending a lot of time and effort researching, looking for these vulnerabilities, and then suddenly going out and using them to exploit.
They take it like a real job.
It is, yes. And there's a tremendous amount of effort that these that the cyber criminal community puts behind this. Mm. So we as security professionals, I think we have to be also on our toes, and we have to be ready and also be aggressive in defending our systems.
Mm. So is the web becoming unsafe then?
Well, you know, there'll always be risks whenever you use the web or the internet. But I think for consumers, it's always important to know how to stay safe as you're using it. So as a starting point, a few tips I can recommend. One is to really use strong passwords. You want to have passwords which, you know, are decently long, maybe 8 to 12 characters long. And definitely my recommendation is to use random passwords. Mm. Never use the same passwords the same time across different websites, because the attacker can chain it up. If he gets access to one website, he uses the same password on the next website, and ultimately is able to steal your identity. So our recommendation is use different passwords across the different sites. And if necessary, use password management tools, right, like Norton Identity Safe, to be able to manage your passwords across the site.
Edward Snowden recommends to use a passphrase instead of passwords.
Yes. Sometimes another technique is actually to use a combination of the website name together with a regular password that you use.
Oh, that's actually very good. Yeah, I will probably use that.
Yes.
Now, let's talk a bit about social media. Because, you know, when you talk about consumers accessing the web, you know, most of them are using it for social media. And it isn't something that we find that, you know, oh, it's going to present to me a threat. You know, like, you know, for example, Facebook or Twitter. We find these sites very safe. Is that necessarily true, though? Because there are threats within, you know, social media sites as well, right?
There certainly are threats within social media. And, you know, it is a good point that you brought up. Criminals are now, you know, exploiting that circle of trust that users would have with their friends in social media sites. And what they're doing is they're getting them to infect themselves and others. So let me give you an example. Last year, you know, you must have heard that there's a very famous actor, Robin Williams, who passed on. And within hours, cyber criminals actually exploited the people's grief and interest by creating a goodbye video that he purposedly took. And what the people did was, when they received this, they had to click on it. And when they did, the first thing that it got you to do is share it with your friends. Right. So all your friends got a copy of this video. And when the next step was, it got you to visit a website to fill up a survey or to install a piece of software. Now, either of this, whether it's visiting a website or installing a piece of software, basically what that did was install a piece of malware onto your machine. So that you've done now as a user, you've done two things. One, you've installed malware on your machine and you've got it compromised. And two, you've also shared it with 20 of your friends, you know? And they would have shared it on and on and on. So this is something what we call manual sharing. And in our ISTR report, we actually saw that on average, 70% of social media scams were actually shared manually. Now, what's very interesting, specifically for Malaysia, that number was actually higher. 84% of the scams, were actually shared manually. And Malaysia actually ranks 25th amongst all the countries in terms of social media scams globally.
Are we gullible? Is that the reason? Because we trust so much, you know, what our friends say on Facebook and stuff, we just tend to share it immediately.
I think this is one of the things that, you know, where users really have to be wary of the scams and the fakes that are out there. So many times, when we get something, we're asked to share it automatically, and many people do so without a second thought. I think a lot of people need to check the veracity of that information before actually going ahead and sharing it, because they might be actually part of that network proliferate the malware.
What do some cyber criminals actually do with all the stolen information that they get, whether it's from an email spam or whether it's from social media or from mobile devices or malware and stuff? What's the value in all this data that they steal?
Yeah, so they actually use the information in many ways. They can actually, if they obtain information, say for example credit card numbers, mm-hmm. they could either sell it on the black market, or they could use it directly to commit fraud. If email addresses, they can use it to they could either sell it or use it to commit identity theft. Now, just to give you an idea of what the black market kind of looks like, and it's growing to be a multi-billion-dollar industry. Credit card details, for example, would sell from anything up to $20 per credit card, right? And in fact, you can get an email addresses, a batch of 1,000 email addresses could sell up to $10. And the volumes that you're speaking of, right, are in the thousands or tens or hundreds of thousands of these things at one time. So if you imagine the amount of money that criminals are willing to spend on this, their ROIs are going to be many times more coming back.
Nigel, just to wrap things up, what can we do, to protect ourselves, and also, the businesses that we run, besides, just having proper, secure passwords?
Yeah, great question. So I think a few points that I could give for organizations, really look at having a full multi-layered security strategy. Right, what we call defense in depth. Have multiple control points, be it at the endpoint, the network, your authentication, your information protection. Right. Mm. The other thing also, and this comes back to that first question that you, first comment that you made about, it's not a case of when you will, if you will be breached, but rather when you would be breached. So my question is, do organizations know what to do when they get breached? Right. So. One of the things that they should do is actually look to add some retainer services for some security expertise to be on standby to come on site if and when a breach occurs. The other thing also for organizations certainly is to continue to provide security awareness to their users, because often the weakest part is the users. Now, let me take a step to the other side, which is the consumers. And we did mention about strong passwords earlier. So strong passwords is certainly something that they need to do. The other thing, as I mentioned as well, is not to simply click on links or forward emails or social media bytes that are coming from people that you don't know, and even people that you do know. You want to check before you look before you leap, right? And look before you actually start sharing this. One last point to the consumer in this age of the Internet of Things. I think a lot of these connected devices, it could be a smart TV, it could be your home router. You got to make sure that your passwords are changed from the default passwords. That's one very easy way that attackers can exploit. Mm-hmm. Secondly, a lot of these devices actually come with remote access capability that allows somebody else from the internet to take control. So a lot of users should actually go into their systems and turn that off if it's not required.
I've been speaking to Nigel Tan. He's the country director for Symantec Malaysia and Thailand. And we were going through the highlights of the Internet Security Threat Report Volume 20. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.